So, you might be sitting here tonight and saying, look, I don't really need God, okay? And I understand. You might be in that place and say, God's not really for me. I'm really good looking. You know, I can kind of make my way through life. I've got a great job. I'm top of my class. My friendships are like awesome. We are like BFFs. We LOL together all the time. We just like really love each other. Everything I have is really because of me. I've worked hard. I've hustled hard. I've made it all by myself. I have everything I need, and I've actually got bigger fish to fry. That's what we might be thinking. You know, I don't really need God. This God thing is not for me. It would be so stupid to give all of that up for this silly little fix called religion or God or something. So if you're in that place, I was in that place. And for me, the thing that kept me from needing God or not needing it was trophies. This is kind of what I built my life around. So I brought my trophy collection. Yay! Not really. I called a couple of friends and they brought in trophies. But let's just pretend for now. And when you think about it, so it's like in primary school, you know, you want to be the fastest runner or this at sport, or Steve says captain under of every sport under the sun, or you want to be the best cricketer award, and so that's what you're kind of after, and that's the season, and it means everything to you. And then you go to high school, and then the trophies get a little bit bigger, the blazers get a little bit whiter, you get a little bit more recognition and fame, and so that becomes a thing. And then you go to university, and there's a change. It's no longer like in a sport, or a Duck Scholar, or in academics, or in culture, or in those kinds of things. Maybe now it's like, how many girls in the back of your door, how many guys in the back of your door, like you boast amongst your friends, who can really have the biggest party, biggest bash, drink the most, do all of that. And so that becomes a trophy that you talk about. And then you kind of move into a different season of life, and every kind of system, when you look around you, there's Australian Opens, there's FedEx Cups, there's World Cup Rugby, there's Fortune 500, every company has got its trophy, every continent's got its trophy, every sport has got its trophy, but all of us are working toward this trophy. And so I don't really need God because I got better things to do with my time. And that's really maybe the space that you might be in. And what happens is that this trophy goes onto our CVs. Now, if you don't know what a CV is, it's really important. But really, it's a resume, and it's something that you use to apply for jobs. It basically defines whether you get in or whether you're shut out. So you'll take all of your trophies and all of your accolades and everything that you've done, and you'll put it on a CV, and you'll start applying to get in. And what it does is it actually moves you further, faster. If you've got a great CV, it gets you better friendships. It gets you better sex sometimes. It gets you better money, better pay. And so you take the CV, and on the basis of your CV, that determines whether you get in or whether you are shut out. But if you think about it, it goes further than that. All of us here, we may not need God, but we really want to kind of be remembered and have a CV that will build a name that's big, a name that lasts. You know, a name where we have applause and recognition and get access to all of these things. And so the sporting industry, the entertainment industry, the film industry, the financial institution, the cosmetic industry, the fashion industry, all of it is built on this performance, CV, applause type pursuit. And we want to make a big name that lasts forever. And if you, I'm not a 1D listen, don't hold me. I don't listen to One Direction, but I listen to it every now and then. But I know you guys love One Direction. So I'm going to quote their last song in memory of him. And they say this: mini bars, expensive cars, hotel rooms and new tattoos, good champagne and private planes. This is not the end. You and me got a whole lot of history. We could be the greatest team that the world has ever seen. So don't let it go. We can make some more. We can live forever. That's 1D. Straight from me to you. But really, that's their CV. And so in this room, we've got people here who don't need God, but we all need a great resume. Who don't need God, but we all want a great CV because it gets us in. And when it gets us access, it gives us a name. We don't need God. And there's a word that the Bible uses that puts the sacred and the secular in one room. We all want righteousness. That's what we want. You might use the word CV or resume. The Bible uses the word righteousness. We may not need God, in this room tonight, but we all want righteousness. Now, many of us think righteousness is something that we do. It's something that we are. It's something that we have to be. That's what we think. And you're going to be shocked tonight to learn what this word really means. But let me give you an example of righteousness. So I'm running with a couple of my buddies in the park, that Delta Run on Saturday. And these guys are big, strong guys, as I often say. But we're running together. Now, when a guy runs past you, you get that feeling in your heart, like of inadequacy. It's like your chest puffs out. You just try and stride it a little bit more. And then it's step to step for the next sort of 100 meters. And then you kind of back off because you lose a lung and you can't breathe. It's like, guys, we can't do it anymore. Hey, we're supposed to be a team. Come, we're running together, yeah? Now, that's one thing, okay? But when a chick runs past you, you melt. I'm serious. And when two or three chicks run past you, I mean, it's a disaster from there. And what I've seen and what I know of you is that maybe you were an irreligious or you are an irreligious person and you are after this kind of accolade CV building life. And then you're like, I need an experience of God. And you transfer this life into the religious life. You transfer what you were doing here into the church and you start needing to build a good resume, a good CV for God in order for Him to give you access, in order for Him to make your name great, in order for Him to answer your prayers. And that's really what we do. And so I want to talk about a guy by the name of Paul. Now, Paul was a guy who didn't need God and he had it all together. Okay? And he was in prison over this word righteousness, which we're going to come to see. And he's in prison and he writes a letter to the city of Philippi. And he writes this letter to the person sitting in the audience who thinks that his or her achievements is what gains him access to God. He writes a letter to deal with a person who says, I don't need God, but I want a great resume. I don't need God, but I want righteousness. And so let's look at what Paul says. He says, if anyone else thinks that they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. If anyone is in this room at the moment that thinks that they have reason, that thinks that they have a great CV, that thinks that they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, confidence in themselves, confidence that they've got it all together, that they don't need God, he says to all of us here, I actually have more. Okay, so if you think you're cool, if you think you're in, if you think you got it, you think you got it all together, he's got more. And so he boasts and he says this. He says, listen to this, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Woo! Okay, that makes him a legitimate Jewish person. He says that I am of the people of Israel. Okay, so he's legit. He's in a covenant relationship with God. He actually says, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, Benjamin, guys, it was like the house to be in. It was like the university to be in. It was like the clan of clans. It was like the inner clique. From this tribe, King Saul came. And this guy who's writing this letter, his name was Saul before it was changed. And this tribe was the only tribe that was loyal to the house of David. So to be a part of the tribe of Benjamin, I mean, you could walk with like your pimp limp, you know, that you could do that. You had pimp limp rights. He says he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Okay, he wasn't a half breed. He was a pedigree. Like if you were going to buy him, he would be expensive. Okay, in regard to the law, he said he's a Pharisee. So he went to the University of Jerusalem, and he was the duck scholar. He got top grades, and they made him a Pharisee. Very, very learned person. He knew the law. I mean, he was the top, top guy. He was actually mentored by a guy called Gamaliel, who was one of the top scholars of the day, and he got into that group. I mean, can you handle that? Like, he was in that circle. He was a Pharisee, disciple of one of the top guys in Jerusalem. As for zeal, now these words are very shameful, but this is what he did. In God's name, he persecuted the church. He killed Christians. He locked them up. He was going around. I mean, like, he had a great CV. As for righteousness based on the law, he says he was faultless. So my name is Paul, and here are my trophies. Does that make sense? And he just says, if anyone has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I actually have more. I'm a better follower of God than anyone in this room. I'm faultless. That's what he thought. He didn't really need God, but man, he had it together. And then he says these words, but, But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss. Whatever were gains to me, whatever I could use as my trophies and put on my resume to move me further, faster, to advance my life, to climb that ladder, to get that relationship, to use social capital to make me more cool, to give me access into places that I need to have access, whatever were gains to me, these things he used as gains, he now says he considers loss for the sake of Christ. Notice how he uses this word consider three times. He goes, even more than that, guys, I want you to know, I consider everything, all of this, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing worth. Is that what it says? No, no, no. It says, because of. I consider all of this a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. You may sit here tonight and say, I don't need God. Paul is saying he considered, he thought about this, and there's something about knowing Christ. There's a surpassing worth about knowing Christ that enabled him to consider everything a loss compared to, or because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. For whose sake I've lost all things. Now, he's a learned guy, and I'm potentially going to lose my job on this next slide. But he says something here that I couldn't even put in English. Okay? The guy in Philippi who would be reading the letter to the Philippian church, he would have been fired as the reader. Okay, a guy who gets a duck scholar who is renowned around Jerusalem, he would not use a word like this. And yet he chooses, he's so amped at dealing with this kind of issue that he uses this word. He says, I consider them scabalon. You guys know what that is, eh? Well, now you can go out, scabalon. Scabalon. Some of the translations say rubbish, okay? Some of them say dung. Some of them say excrement. He considers all of this because there's something he knows about Jesus as SH1T. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He considers it crap. Now, please don't fire me. I'm just saying what the Bible says, okay? He says, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. And that's what this life was of Paul's. It was a righteousness of his own. It was him trying to make himself better and better and better to give him access to God. We use it in the secular market to give us access to things. He pulled it from the secular market into the religious market, and he's like, I now consider all of this a pile of, don't say it out loud, compared to the righteousness that comes from Christ. He says, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul is saying here, guys, I want to be found in him. All of this I consider excrement compared to being found in him. It's like the person all their life who tries to work and climb this ladder. And then you've got a guy like Prince Harry who's born in the British monarchy, and he doesn't really care. He's got it all, you know. He's found in that lineage, and it makes all the difference. And so Paul's saying, I consider this life rubbish if I may only by faith be found in Christ. He didn't really need God in a stage in his life. He had it all together, but he wanted righteousness. And he had to reconsider everything that helped him gain things. He looked at life and he said, this is excrement compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ. Now let's play this in your life, okay? I'm going to say you've got a great CV. You're doing really well. And so I'm going to start you off with your first house, okay? Actually, I'm going to start you off. This is your first holiday home. Okay, let's just say you've worked, it's gained you access, all your friends want to be friends with you, they like want to come on holiday with you, because of, I mean, look at your house, it's like awesome, okay? And there you are sitting on your stoop, having a strawberry daiquiri, and you look to the right, and you see your neighbor's house. Yeah, and that's what it makes you feel, okay? And so you got to update your CV over and over and over, okay? And then what you do is, as you're looking at your neighbor's house, you look at your neighbor's wife. And now you get nervous, okay? But we can go to the next slide. And then I want to give you a view of your house from the coast. Okay, can you see your house there with that yellow dot? Can you see that? That's your house, okay, that you're giving your whole life to, that holiday home. That's you, okay? Now, I've got news for you. NASA took a photo of your house, okay, and I want to show you your house. Can you see it there? Can you see that yellow dot there? No, you can't, okay? But what I want you to do is give yourselves a round of applause. Please, give yourselves a clap. Clap with me. Look at your house. Look at it. Clap louder. Clap. Like, come on. Jeez. Your whole life. That's what you get. And I can't see it. Now I want to give you heaven's perspective. Okay? Look at your house now. I don't even see earth from here. And that's what Paul is saying, guys. He's saying that your little accolades and your little CV and your resume and everything that you stress over and you're building your life from heaven's perspective is a pile of, compared to, there's something to be gained in Christ. There's something to be had that from heaven's perspective, Paul said, it's changed my life. And really we have two options. You have two options in your life. You might say, I don't need God, but we all want righteousness. And there are two options. Either a life of my own righteousness, and so you can go along and you can build a CV all your life, my own righteousness. Or you can have God give you Jesus' CV. And you've got a choice. Do you think you are going to stand before the gates of heaven with the most strenuous interview you have ever been in your life? Do you think that your CV is going to cut it? And Paul is saying, when you stand before God, all you need to say is, here's Christ's CV, and you're in. That's what he's saying. And the surpassing worth of what Christ has done for us makes him consider this a loss, and everything a loss. Now, I want to know, if we realize this, if we realize that there was a right standing, that there was a righteousness, that there was this word that God has given to us as a gift, do you know that some authors in history, like John Wesley, left a service like this when he heard it, and he skipped. I mean, he skipped all the way down the street. He was so delighted. There have been some guys that have reconsidered their lives. They've rethought about the whole thing, and they've been like, what am I building here? What am I after? And they've left it all, and they've gone into the hardest places, suffering the hardest kinds of sufferings, and yet rejoiced in the Lord because of what they've given. If we got this, I mean, you think about it. The righteousness that you're building on your CV, it's not quenchable. You're going to have a new one every season. It's temporary. When you fail it, when you underperform in whatever industry, it's going to turn your back on you when you underperform. And you know what? It actually doesn't give you the access that you want. It doesn't give you the access into everything, everywhere that you want. And it's very costly, and it amounts to poo. His righteousness is free. It's available to anyone. It's permanent. It's not based on our performance. So it can never be taken away. And it gives you eternal access. It changes everything. You know, I've really been challenged by this, and I'm thinking, you know, there's one question that I'd like you to think about. Is there value in what you are valuing? And that's what I've had to look at in my own life. Is there value in what I'm valuing? There's some value, you know, there really is some value. But is there eternal and ultimate value? When I look at a diagram like that, when I look at my life, when I look at the things that I'm stressing over, that I want, that are costly, that I've got to bring as a CV, that, you know, in order to be accepted by others, this ladder climbing pursuit, when I look at the exams that I've had to write, when I look at the sports teams and the pressure that I've had to go through, when you look at all of that stuff, it's like, is there value in what I'm valuing? When what's on offer, when Christ's saying, if I can be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that I may gain Christ, a free gift from God by sheer faith, and that's all I need to stand before God. It's the only thing when I take a step back that can help me say, this may really be, I thought it was going to be big, and I thought it was going to last long and build me a name, but Paul's actually saying it's very small and it's very short. That's what Paul's saying. And Paul is writing this. He's not writing this from a penthouse. He's writing this from a prison. So he has really considered everything a loss. There's something that Christ gives us. There's something that makes us right with God, that makes people skip out of here. So I want to end with the biggest trophy in my life at the moment, which is this one. Now, every year we have an annual event, okay? The guy attends our church, just so that everyone's clear, his name is Steve, okay? You can chat to him about it afterwards. But this trophy, we call it Club 54, okay? This is what I'm really building my life around, okay? It's a golfing tournament, you can see. I can't tell you guys, we have sleepless nights over this. I'm telling you, like, sleepless nights. And the day arrived in December when we had to get it on, okay? I had a sleepless night. We woke up early. There we were warming up, you know, stretching out the old backs. We walked, got our gear together. We walked to the tee box. Didn't say a word to one another. You know, it's like it was really, really silent. So there we are. We're walking and walking and walking. And there's no shots here. Golf, you can have like a handicap system. This is scratch. This is level par. Now, let me tell you how important this is to me. This gives you bragging rights for an entire year. Okay, did you know that? And the loser has to always bri. Now, you think Steve's a good cook naturally. Huh? These things don't just happen. Okay, Steve's lost a couple of these. But this was a perfect morning. There was a slight breeze left to right. Standing on the first tee box, there's water on the left. There's trees on the right. The green is 432 meters away. I'm in the zone. Steve's in the zone. Just a gentle, you know, just getting it ready, kind of loosening up. Take a step back. I put my little yellow ball into the ground. Guys, this is the real deal now. Okay, you don't understand what's on the line here. Like, if I win this, I can go home and tell the whole world. Okay, I can tell my wife. I can tell my son. I can tell my kids, I can tell my family. In fact, I imported my whole family for that holiday. That's how much the pressure was. I could just imagine myself sitting on the stoop, sipping a Castle Light with that little smug, you know, thing while Steve's turning the meat. This is everything to me. Okay, you don't understand the access that this gives me. So I'm standing there and I'm ready. And it's just silence, looking down the tee box, I'm ready. And I take it back and I hit this ball. Straight out the middle. And there it goes. And I didn't see it. I couldn't see it. So I looked to Steve, and Steve couldn't see it either, but he's thinking it's in the water. That's what he's thinking. But I now think, is this gone? And all, like, to my amazement, guys, I'm telling you, I look at this sunrise that blinds me. I can't see my ball. I can't see where it's gone. I'm blinded by the sunrise. I mean, it was absolutely breathtaking. It was gorgeous. It actually made me a little bit emotional. And this sunrise, in God's grace, it blinded me from my self-indulged, from my self-wanting to win, from my CV building, from my needing sleepless nights and anxiety, like from me needing to be the best little golfer in this friendship ever. It blinded me. I didn't see it. I don't know whether it was a good shot or not. And in the same way, that's what Paul is speaking about in our relationship with God. That when we look at the sunrise of His grace, when we look at His righteous life that beams through, that He died, that He lived for us, when we smell the fragrance of His death on our behalf, it takes our little resumes and it takes our, we think that we can stand before God because of this, and it makes it null and void. It has a surpassing worth, a worth way more. It takes our eyes off of us. And that's what Paul is speaking about. And I really pray that God would blind us by His grace. If you are sitting here tonight and you're saying, I don't need God, but all I want is righteousness, you need to reconsider and say, what road am I on here? What am I really building my life on? What resume am I really going to produce at the end of the day? Who's it really going to count for? Is there value, I mean ultimate value, in what I'm valuing? And Paul says there's a surpassing value, there's a surpassing worth of knowing Christ, of being found in Christ, of having His righteousness being given to us, of resting in it. There was a hymn writer who understood this, and this is what he wrote. Would you lay your deadly doing down? Would you lay it down at Jesus' feet? Would you stand in Him and Him alone, gloriously complete? Let's pray together.